You know, when the enemy comes and tries to tell us, let's don't go today, that's usually when God's got something He wants to do, powerful. I didn't hear any amens. Well, I'll tell you what, I am wound up today. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you're here? I'm glad you're here. God's glad you're here. Hallelujah. And I'm glad to be here too. Let me just tell you some things. We've got an update on Richard, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I called Karen this week, Thursday night, and asked her to let everybody know and to pray for my mom. You know, at 92, any kind of a spill or anything is not an easy thing, and it's not a good thing, especially when you've got a hip replacement, two knee replacements and stuff, and with the other problem, physical problem she has. But I want to tell you what happened is God's angels were right there. What happened is she was going into the refrigerator and she was reaching in to get something and accidentally knocked over, or it slipped out or something. I don't know what happened. But a jar of salad dressing or mayonnaise fell on the floor and she slipped and hit her head on the corner of one of those box fans. 2-inch gash, 1-inch deep. She got 14 shots in the head and 12 staples. Never lost consciousness. Never got a headache. Never had any kind of trauma at any time. But they did take an x-ray to find out. And what they found out is it looks like that hip replacement may be loose. Well, you know, they've been talking about this on TV lately. So anyway, it's in God's hands. But the angels of God were right there to watch over her. And praise the Lord, I don't care what happens to us. As believers, God is always on the scene. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said He would, no matter what happens, He's there. His plans for us for good and not for evil, to prosper and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And not only that, He says, you know, nothing that comes against you will ever prosper. It'll have no lasting effect. We go through things. The Bible tells us, take up our cross and follow Him. And, you know, we read in Romans, let me make sure I get this right. No, it's Ephesians 1:16, I think it is, that the sufferings and things we go through in this present time are not even they can't even be compared with the glory and the blessings of God that are ours, both now and that's right, forever. That's a good way to put it. And so we need to be excited. Richard's brother came in town. For those of you who don't know Richard, he played the drums here. He was part of the music group for a long time. He came here for a while, and he was dearly loved. He is still dearly loved. But the enemy, and ladies and gentlemen, if we don't trust God, then we're subject to all kinds of things that are not good for us that can bring on other calamities. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. My understanding is Richard has been depressed for a long time. Point is, we know he loves God. We know he's in God's hands. He's a child of God. And the enemy tried to kill him. And as we talked Wednesday night, for those of you who weren't here, if Richard's got the will to live, then I believe that's going to have a lot to do with whether he stays. What happened, however, we did find out from his brother, who God opened the door for us to have a good relationship right off the bat. I prayed for the brother and I prayed for the family and for Richard. But he had a heart attack. He was eating fruit cocktail. He had a heart attack in his chair and went unconscious. He was unconscious for quite a while. So when Greg got here, basically what they decided is they're going to remove him from all life support, send him up to Comfort Care, which is just another kind of a hospice situation. They're going to go ahead and put him up there, just see what happens. If he stays, he stays, and if he goes, he goes. But there were some reactions and some things that happened that they decided maybe we've been a little hasty here. So they took him back down to ICU. However, if there's not a marked improvement, what they say is he will be removed from life support, and he will go back to the Comfort Care and be ready to meet his maker. Now, that's what I was told. He had a heart attack. That's what caused the whole thing to begin with. But anyway, and so that's what stemmed it. When he had the heart attack, that's what caused the whole thing to snowball from there. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Yes, we need to give God glory for that. Harry's doing well. Harry's had a few uncomfortable moments, but for the most part, from what he's been telling me, he and Marie are doing well. They're getting back on their feet, you know. And so God's good. Amen? And no matter what we go through, He's with us. We've got a lot to be thankful for. And this morning, I'll tell you what, because of the conversation we had Wednesday night, God really, really has been on me about where our hope and our trust is. We look at too many different things and we allow too many outside distractions to come. The enemy uses distraction, deceit, and fear. I mean, distraction, deceit, and fear. That's what his tools are, the only tools he has. And the only way they become effective is if we entertain those or jump on board with whatever it is that's going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying deny something if it's there, Marie, her foot, Harry, with what's going on with him. I'm not saying deny it, but know that you are not a victim. You are a victor. I don't care what the politicians are doing. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what the diagnoses are. And I don't care what the end time events that we read about. And, you know, and so a lot of people who are immature, that brings fear to hear about these things. Well, I'm not going to be able to buy or sell. What am I going to do when the beast comes? I'm going to take the mark. I don't want to take the mark of the beast. What am I going to do? And fear sets in. And the Word of God is completely full of His blessings and His promises and the fact that we're on the winning team, that He's watching out for us, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I'll tell you what, if that doesn't excite you, honey, we're going to pray to raise you from the dead. I'm going to come lay hands on you right now. It's real, folks. It's real. Most everybody here, if not everybody, and I think everybody here, has experienced the power of God in their life. They know it's real. And it's not just for certain things. I want to tell you, be honestly, there was years back, I was telling Bill that this morning, years back, I had a knowledge of God. I thought I believed God. But when it came right down to the nitty-gritty, I had this idiot thought in my head, well, it always works for everybody else. Thank God that's long gone, years gone. But the point is, that's what I'm talking about. Something happens immediately. You're distracted from faith and from the Word of God. You begin to focus on the distraction, whether it's something going on in our government or some kind of an accident or whatever, or some financial situation. And that's where the enemy begins to get a stronghold. The Bible says don't give place to him. Sit down, Bill. I might just preach here. Praise the Lord. Father, we give you this time. We thank you for your presence. This is your time. We are your people. We honor your word this morning. Order our steps in your word. Order the circus. Orchestrate this surface, Lord. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Father, this is your word, and I want to use it the way you designed or you desire for it to be used, Lord. And when you want it used, Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. This is something we talked about Wednesday night. You know, we read scriptures and sometimes it doesn't really register. Sometimes we read things and we really don't grasp the eternal and the powerful nature of what we're reading. I mean, say amen to that. I mean, we read it, we get excited for a minute, and then it kind of just... Here's what it says. Verse 8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you. How will they cheat you? Through philosophy and empty deceit. Did you notice the anyone there? That means whether it's physical or spiritual. That's anyone. Cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. According to the tradition of men. And that's where we all stumble at some point or time in our life. Maybe often in some cases. Is because we go by the tradition of men. What men say. Well, this has been my experience. You know what? About to experience. Your traditions don't mean a thing to me anymore. What I'm saying to you is the fact that I trust God. I believe God. I want God's presence in my life. And God is my all in all. Is that blunt enough for you? According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 says, and you, that means every one of you, are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. That means everything, including Satan. Do I need to say that again? That means all angelic power. That means all satanic power. All of the cohorts of Satan. He is the head. And He's above all principality and power. He's the head of all principality and power. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to take a couple of minutes, and I just want to go through both what the Merriam-Webster says and what the Strong says about fullness or full or complete, which is all synonymous. Fullness is rich in experience. This is Merriam-Webster. Possessing a rich or pronounced quality. Fullness. Okay? Containing all that is wanted. Fullness is containing all that is wanted or needed or possible. And of course, the root word there is full. And full implies the presence or conclusion of everything that is wanted or required or that can be held, contained, or attained. Glory to God. And it also implies completeness. And that word complete, it applies when all that is needed is present. Is all that you need present with God? Does God have everything you need? Now y'all don't shout me down. Are you not sure? Is present. The implication of fullness without qualification. Woo-hoo! Filled to the brim. If something's full, filled to the brim, it's complete, right? You can't put any more in it. The cool thing is, us as vessels of God, as God continues to pour, we begin to spill out and get all over other people. Glory to God. Glory to God. Strong's word fullness means completeness or fullness of time or abundance. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Remember, I told you that the three tools of the enemy are deceit, distraction, and fear. Ladies and gentlemen, fear is a spirit. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Good morning. Power and love and of a sound mind. Amen. Sound mind. What does that entail? That means that in the midst of everything and anything, our mind is so sound that we don't get distracted or deceived, and we don't take on a spirit of fear, but we run to the rock that's higher than us, that's higher than you and I, and we look to him. Basically, we go back to Psalm 91:1. We understand what we have in him, his presence, that we're protected. We're under protection in Psalm 91:1. He promises that we're not going to go through the things that the world goes through. Now, that doesn't mean that things don't happen to us. But the things that do happen to us are things that are meant not for our destruction, but God uses those to build our character and to cause us to grow in him and to be better than we were before. It strengthens us. It builds our character and it makes us more powerful and have more authority than we had before. That's because the Holy Spirit shows us, reminds us, that we have been brought through something that if we look at it and analyze it, rather than saying, "God, why did this happen to me?" we can say, "Thank you, Lord, that you used what was meant for my harm for your good and my good and for the kingdom's good, and I'm better off now than I was." No, it wasn't pleasant from the respect of the physical part of it, but the spiritual part, I'm not going to say I want to do it again, but thank you, Lord. We're to give thanks in everything. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Don't thank God for the hurt, but thank God for the outcome. Amen? Thank him that he can take whatever was meant for our harm and turn it to good. He said no weapon formed against you would prosper. Bill and I discussed that this morning. I believe that if you break it down, you're talking about no plan, no attack, no device, no sickness, no calamity. Does that sound no like weapons? Weapons to distract us from God, to steal the word? The word fear in 2 Timothy 1:7 means timidity or cowardice. That's pretty strong words. That's pretty strong words. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity or cowardice, or a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. The word power there means strength, ability, listen, for performing miracles, resources arising from numbers, and I think, see, that is twofold. How many remember when, I believe it was Elisha said to Elijah, open his eyes so that he can see there's more of us than there are them? That's paraphrased, but you know what I'm talking about. That he had myriads of angels in the host of heaven that were around them. Here's this puny army coming or whatever, and here's the host of heaven that responds to our faith and to our speaking the word. In other words, when we speak the word, it's like they're being commanded as if God himself was commanding them. And the Godhead we read about in Colossians 2, verse 9, is all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Godhead. And the same power dwells in all of them. And we just read also that he is the head of all principality and power. Hallelujah. Okay? Arising from numbers, consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, or hosts, the hosts of God. Again, as the body of Christ, the way the body functions, we come together. We stand around about one another. That's why we call for the elders of the church to lay hands on us, to anoint us with oil. That's why we call and say, will you pray, please? That's why I called Karen. Prayer changes things. Prayer takes control of the situation and doesn't let the situation go on. It puts the enemy on notice. Not here. You're not doing that here. I'm not receiving that. I'm not going with you on that. And I'm not going to succumb to this attack, whatever it is. Amen? Love is the word agape. That word love there, in other words, power of a power, not of fear. Let me go back and read it again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And that word love there means brotherly love, affection, or goodwill, or benevolence. And it starts with God. Is that right? Praise the Lord. And the sound mind, it means an admonishing or calling to soundness of mind. Let me just submit this to you before I go on. Well, let me read the last part of this, and then I'll tell you. It means admonishing or calling to soundness of mind, moderation, and self-control. If God's in control, you and I are never out of control. If we allow, let me say it another way, if we allow God to be in control in our lives, no matter what happens, we are never out of control. The situation's not out of control, no matter what it looks like. What are we supposed to walk by? Faith and not sight. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. In John 4, 23 and 24, it says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Verse 24 of John 4 says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. What truth? The truth, the life, and the way, Jesus, the living Word. The fullness of the Godhead dwelling in Jesus bodily. We just read what fullness means. We're complete. Nothing lacking. Nothing lacking. In Acts 26, 17 and 18. Listen, people. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. Verse 18 says, to open their eyes. You'll be delivered so you'll open the eyes of others. Your experience, your testimony will open the eyes of others in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Your faith is what sanctifies you, sets you apart. Sanctified means sets apart, set apart. So when you're in a situation and you give God praise and you keep joy and you let joy overflow, remember it's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you've got joy like that, when the joy is overflowing, man, you can just sense the glory and be in the presence and the glory of God at the same time. God inhabits the praises of His people. If God's on the scene, you think the enemy hangs around? No, he runs in stark terror. He is the one who's a coward. His weapons are sneak attacks. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, so now we're not only sanctified, but we're justified by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. The only thing, I want to say this again, I want to drive this home today. The only tools, the only weapons the enemy has at his disposal is deception, distraction, and fear to use against us. For some of us, as I mentioned, he uses the end time teaching. You know, immature Christians, when they hear this stuff, the focus isn't on what God's protection is and what God's promised. The focus is, oh my God, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do when this happens? And that teaching's not meant to bring fear. But in some people, in their immaturity, that's what it does. It brings fear. A spirit of fear. What does fear bring? Depression? Anxiety? Sounds like all works of darkness to me, doesn't it to you? He'll use political affairs to enable a spirit of fear. People are distracted by the ungodly decisions of government leaders and by the teachings that sound like the Antichrist or Satan. The people who succumb to those things or entertain that don't know the fullness of God and don't know what God's promises are and who they are in Christ. This is where the deception begins. People's hearts begin to fail because of fear. They lose sight of God's promises. People sometimes dwell on the negative possibilities rather than remembering that God and His Word can not fail. God gave a promise in Isaiah 26:3. He says that He would keep him in peace, or keep you in peace, if your mind is stayed on Him, because He trusts in you. If you trust in God, your mind will be kept in perfect peace. Your Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. We look at that externally like it's everybody out there. We got to be careful. No. Remember what Jeremiah 17:9 says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But one of the biggest enemies is right here between your ears. The soul nature of man. The seat of appetites. The emotions. Same inner O me. We need to look to the promises in the Word. Y'all still here? Did you go home? Or is this just so heavy that you're just sucking it in like sponges? If you go back and you read Matthew chapter 6, what you're going to read is that God tells us not to be concerned with things. What you'll wear, what you'll eat, where you'll live. He says He takes care of just even the creatures or the birds of the air. And He says, He asks the question, are you not more important than they are? In case you don't have an answer for that, the answer is yes, you are. Those things were put here for us, for our use, our enjoyment, and for blessing. They are not at no time, at any way, shape, fashion, or form, higher than any man. I don't care what kind of stuff you hear outside these four walls. They're for our enjoyment. And they're not to be set on pedestals. That's another message. We're not going to go any further with that. He tells us in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these blessings will be added to you. You want to know how to operate in this? You want to know how to get started, get a jump start? Seek God's kingdom, His Word, and Him. He said, those who seek Me will find Me. Those who seek Me early will find Me. So that's where your help comes. I will look to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from where? From the Lord. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Go back and look at Jeremiah 29:11. God's promise. God's promise provision for us, not only in Matthew 6, but He says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The propriety there, or the important part, is not prospering financially and in other ways, or, you know, and being in health. It's your soul prospering. Letting your mind, which is your soul, part of your soul nature, be washed by the water of the Word. Being regenerated. The washing of the water of the Word in your life. That faith, that kind of faith, is the substance of the things you hope for, but it's also the evidence of the things not seen. The faith that Harry and Marie, or Patrick and Donna, or Karen and Bob, or Bill, or Lowell, or even any of us walk in, is the substance of other people's hope. The things they hope for. It's what they're looking for. But if we can't even operate in it, how are we going to show them? How are we going to lead them? Luke 21:33 says, God's will never pass away. And this means all of His promises and His commands. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away till all is fulfilled. You think we've even come close to having all fulfilled yet? I think we're getting closer, but we're not there yet. Amen. Hebrews 13:5 is where it talks about He will never leave you nor forsake you. We need the ability. We need to ask God for the ability to be able to discern. And He gives us the ability to discern right from wrong, good from evil, and the things that are from Him, the things that are not from Him. You know, it comes down to one simple fact, that there are two completely opposite characters in the Bible. One is the character of God that brings life and life more abundantly. He comes to bless you, to keep you, to strengthen you, to give life and that more abundantly, as I said. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He's your healer, your provider, your peace. And then there's the character of the darkness. That's the two entities that are spoken of in the Word. And His whole purpose and job in life, based on His own selfishness and His own self-exaltation and His own boasting and pride, He's the one that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's the one that comes, opens these big toothless mouth, because He's as a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. You know, how many of us have ever dealt with people who their bark was worse than their bite? But boy, you could sure hear him bark. Well, that's the way Satan is. He has no power anymore, folks. The Word of God says Jesus took care of that in the grave, both on the cross and in the completion was in the grave. He took the keys of death and hell. He's spoiled. If you need to know a definition for that, then get your dictionary and look it up and get it at your concordance. He spoiled principalities and powers. Who's the head of principality and power we read earlier? Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one. He spoiled principalities and powers. Well, He's the head. He can do that. Amen? And He made an open show of them. He made a mockery of the devil. And one of these days, the final outcome is going to be where death and hell and Satan are going to be cast into the lake of fire, according to Revelations. Galatians 2:16 says, we're justified by faith and not by our works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. By the washing of what? Regeneration. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Remember, it's a daily walk. You can't live on yesterday's revelations. And you don't know what tomorrow holds. So you got to live today on what you know now. And what's revealed to you today. You know, as I spend the day, no matter what I'm doing, just meditating the things of God, it's like I never stop. It's always there. Something will catch my attention, whether I'm sitting watching a football game or TV or I'm doing the dishes or whatever, something will catch my attention. Something goes on through the day, my grandson or my son or something, and it reminds me of the goodness of God. You know, the Bible says not to fear what man can do to you. Fear the one that can take your name out of the book of life. Fear the one who can kill the body, but who can't take the soul. I mean, you respect the one who can kill the... You know what scripture I'm talking about. It says, don't fear the one who can kill the body. Fear the one who can destroy your soul, which is intertwined with your spirit. You are a triune being, just like the Godhead. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a suitcase or a tent called a body. I don't know why that's so hard for some folks to understand. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Thus, that's Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Thus God, listen carefully, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God cannot lie. Immutability, that's a big $3 word, and all it means is unchangeableness. Unalterable. Inalterable of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He gave an oath. He said, if I ever violate my word, I've got to destroy myself. Because He esteems His word above what? His very own name. How many remember the days when people would talk about somebody's word being their bond? We haven't seen too much of that lately, have we? Just let any old thing come out of your mouth and just, you know, you can't trust what people say anymore. I'm not talking about the people of God now. Understand that. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, unchangeable, inalterable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Well, He swore an oath and He can't lie. Those kind of things cannot stand in the presence of God. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. This hope we have, listen, as an anchor of the soul. The hope of God should be an anchor to our soul. Both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Sure and steadfast. An oath. A promise. God can't lie. So no matter what happens, remember Psalm 91 says, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. He says, only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. He said, don't be afraid of the noisome pestilence, the waste and darkness, or the arrow that flies by day. What's the promise that says, they'll commit you one way, but they'll flee from you seven ways? I don't care what it is. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens in politics. I don't care what happens when Satan comes on the scene. If God's already warned us, that ought to be something we ought to be able to hang on right there. These things are going to happen. But what you have to understand is where you fit in, and you don't. You may be here. You may go through it. I'm not going to get into all that teaching. But if you are, I personally, for one, don't believe we're going to be part of that. But if we are, I could, you know, if I'm wrong, God's got me covered. How about you? Are you sure? Are you really sure He's got you covered? In closing, Romans 12, 1 and 2, very important. We're told, commanded, if you will, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed. That word conformed means patterned after this present age or world. But be transformed or metamorphosized. What does that mean? Anybody here who doesn't know what metamorphosis is? That's what happens when a butterfly or when a caterpillar comes out of his cocoon and is a butterfly. That's a metamorphosis. It's a change. By what? By your mind being renewed, by the renewing of the mind. Don't be conformed to this world. This world runs in fear every time somebody says something. Because their focus is on how many dollars they've got in the bank, how many dollars they've got in their pocket, whether they've got a job, whether they've got this or they've got that. They don't understand that all of that is taken care of in God and in the promises of God for those who are His heirs. Once again, the question comes, is there anything too big for God? Is there anything beyond His capability of handling it? And if you're worried about these principalities and powers, go back and read the scripture we read earlier. He's the head. Christ is the head over all principalities and powers. There's no qualification in there, folks. There's no qualification. Satan is a liar. That's one of the tools, the deception. The deception he uses to try to cause you to stumble, to bring fear. And what does fear do? Takes your focus off of the Word, takes your focus off of the promises, and it puts you in a place of instability, and that's what he wants. And you know the worst part is, it's not because he hates you, it's because he hates the Word. It's like he stands there and says like a foolish child, nah, 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 nah. He's trying, you know, hey God, look at this, I got him. No. I got her. No. Only if you or I allow it. Scripture says, be steadfast, immovable. That's what you need to be in the things of God. Steadfast, immovable. Like a tree planted by the water. The roots run deep. It's healthy. It's receiving the nourishment from everything around it, including the stream. And the tree grows up to be a mighty, immovable object. And that's what we need to be. Amen? That's what we are. That's what we have. It's not just what we hope for. That's what we have. That's what God promised. And what are His promises? In Him they are what? Yes and amen, or so be it. Didn't He tell us when there is no good thing that I have withheld from you? And just in case you're wondering, God can't use anything ungodly or that's not within His capabilities. From His character of being a life giver, teaching truth, being truth, a revelator, bringing comfort. If those aren't the things you're experiencing when you hear something or you get into a situation, then it's time to start looking back at the Word and put that aside. Say, not here. I'm not receiving that. How many here, when you read Mark 11 and it talks about saying to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, get your focus on some physical mountain out there someplace? No. That's possible too. I'm not negating that in the least. But what God's talking about is the things that appear to be mountains in your life. Homelessness. Jobless. Financially struggling. What the enemy does is he puts these things before us, this deception, this fear, these lies, and these distractions. Because at some point, if you don't turn your focus in the right direction, what happens is you begin to believe the lie that he's perpetrating. Can I just tell you? Anything that doesn't come from God is a lie. How can you say that? God's Word said it. I don't have to say it. I can just repeat it. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And you don't get to God any other way. So when the enemy comes with these things, rather than letting them become a mountain in your life or become a stumbling block, Which what that does is that's the beginning. When these things happen, that's the beginning of where God, the devil sets in to bring fear and despair and discouragement, depression. And what happens is at some point, if you don't change that, if you don't get in the Word, and you don't run to God, then you start to believe the lie. And at some point, if you let it go, you'll become reprobate. And you'll believe the lie as the truth. And you'll believe the truth as a lie. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Does that make any sense to anybody? Have you got a grasp on that? Years ago, they used to have a saying, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's true. If it's true in your life. But it's not just a general statement. It has to be true in you. I mean, it's true as a general statement. But you have to accept it just like you accepted Jesus. Why is it that we can accept Jesus to watch over our souls, to save us, and yet the other things we struggle with? We just seem to struggle, have a hard time with. I remember the other day they used to say, in fact, they still say, if He's not Lord of everything, everything, then He's not Lord at all. Is Jesus your Lord today? Lord of everything? Is He at the highest place in your life? Then I promise you, if that's the case, then no matter what comes your way, you're going to be able to stand. And people are going to watch you stand and they're going to say, what in the world is wrong with you? How come you're not affected by all this negative, these lies, these deceptions that are going on around us, both physically and spiritually? How come you're not affected? Well, you are affected. You know how you're affected? He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my provider. He's my peace. He's my healer. He's my joy. He's my strength. He's my all in all. He's my way. He's my truth. He's the life that's in me. He is my life. He is my life. Is Jesus your life today? Is God your life today? Is it your very life permeating every cell in your body and every fiber of your being? Praise the Lord. That's enough to make you shout, because there's nothing that can come against you. Jesus is the head of all principalities and powers. Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, is the head of all those principalities and powers. And that means Satan and everything Satan does. Doesn't he say, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God? Hallelujah. Once again, I would ask the question, where do we lose? Where do we lose? Nowhere. That's right. Exactly. By succumbing to the distractions and the fear and the deception. Praise the Lord. Is your faith built this morning? Do you trust Him today? I mean, do you really trust Him? Hallelujah. You've got the armor of God. And when the enemy throws those fiery darts, that shield of faith is right there to grab them, extinguish them, and throw them down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You just reminded me of a song, Harry. I'm going up in the rapture. I'm going up on a cloud. The trumpet shall sound, my feet will leave the ground, and I'll be with Jesus in the air. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody need prayer? Is there anything we need to pray about? Have you got something to praise God about today? Hallelujah. We're supposed to let people know of the hope that's within us when we're asked. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your presence here at this time. Now as we enter into another phase of this service, Lord, we just give You praise and glory and honor. We thank You for building faith, for causing our focus to be in the place that it is, for bringing revelation, insight, and comfort to us, for edifying us and building us up in love, and for revealing who You are and who You need to be in our lives. Seal Your Word in our hearts. Touch those who need a touch, Lord, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it is. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody got anything they want to give God glory about? Yes, ma'am.
I would say thank God because He gave us a camper for a little bit of
time
and He helped us out.
Amen.
I'm really thankful.
Hallelujah. God's working. God's working. Hallelujah. Billy, come forward.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You for everything that You've bestowed upon us, Heavenly Father. We thank You for each and every person that's here today. We ask You to bless them. We ask You to help us take the word that we received today and to begin to walk in it and live in it. And I don't mean to begin to. I mean to let us continue doing that. Because we know that's Your desire for us to do, Heavenly Father. We ask You to bless this offering and multiply it so that we can continue to be an influence not only in our community here, but throughout the entire world. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's gather around Karen and pray for her before we go. Amen.
Praise You, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, by the word of her testimony, and by Your word, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that she is healed. As we lay hands on her, Lord, she walks in health. The symptoms are rebuked, and they return to the one who sent them. And Lord, I thank You that she's whole by the bruises, blood, and stripes of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that every knee she must bow and confess that You were Lord to the glory of God. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I receive it in His name.
Be blessed. Father, thank You for our fellowship. Bless the food. Bless our fellowship. In Jesus' name, You are dismissed.